Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday. Friday, August the 25th, 2023. Last Friday in the month of August, 19 minutes past the hour. And today is an historic morning, to be sure, because yesterday, for the first time in the history of the United States of America, all 247 years, nearly 250 years, a president of the United States was indicted, and a mugshot was taken of the president, which is on all the newspaper covers this morning, on all television programs, and on all internet sites. 46 presidents, never a mugshot taken. That all changed last night. Now, this morning we're going to be joined by several people discussing this. 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, will be along later in the program. But kicking off for 10 minutes this morning, there's one person we had to have on this morning, and I'm so glad he agreed to do the top 10 minutes of the program here this morning live, because we say historic a lot, and we say unprecedented, and yes, we've had a lot of that in recent years, but this was something different last night. I had people sending me this mugshot moments after it was released. There was something different about this than even the indictments, at least in my thought. And we'll get our guest's thought. He is one of the most well-respected and well-awarded newsmen and well-deserved that the business has ever seen. You remember him so well from This Week with Sam and Cokie, the David Brinkley Sunday Morning Show, and of course co-hosting Primetime Live with Diane Sawyer, which was a top 10 show for several years back when we really only had three channels. He is the absolute pro. You've heard him on this show, and people love to hear him when he's on. I'm going to stop talking because we really want to hear his thoughts on this. Sam Donaldson. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. You know, it's a sobering moment. The fourth time Donald J. Trump in recent months has been brought before the bar of justice and asked to answer for very serious criminal charges. But somehow we've become inured to the fact that it has occurred to this man. But it was the show. It was P.T. Barnum. It was something, the Ringling Brothers Barnum Bailey Circus. Television, of course, added to that. I mean, when was the last time you saw television cameras watching for, in this case, a big plane hump on the side of it, a motorcade of, about 16 cars, vehicles? I've traveled with former presidents. They have a police car. They have their own car that they're traveling in. They have the Secret Service car, and they have a staff car, and that's it. But no, this was a show. It was the Trump show. And to some extent, I think the former president sort of staged it that way. Yes, it was probably saving something from the standpoint of traffic and interference of other people in Atlanta to come that late. But he came at prime time. He is no dunce when it comes to knowing how to put on a show. And when was the last time you saw a cameras following something where the main event cannot be seen? It's inside a jail. Perhaps some people say the worst jail in the world. Certainly they say it in the United States. His mugshot was taken and we saw it right. Here he is looking poor, angry, and I don't blame him. I mean, I saw some of his colleagues who were mugged yesterday and they smiled. What? What is there to smile about? Now, it was perfect in the sense of a show. Now, I'm not trying to make light of it. It was a very serious event. The show struck me.
You know, Sam, something that was interesting last night, we have seen him indicted. This is the fourth time, and a lot of unprecedented things have happened. January 6th, certainly, double impeachment of President Trump. Last night, I had a good friend, immediately after this mugshot was released, send me a picture of it and said, and I want to get the quote, it's like he's mocking the whole process or something. There was something different about this mugshot. Do you feel the same way, and what was that?
Well, I think we're all parsing that look on his face, dour, sinister in a sense. No smiling, and I think that was appropriate not to smile. But it was a shot that said to me, you know, this is the appropriate look for someone who's been indicted on a RICO charge. That is, a charge as being in charge of a criminal conspiracy, a vast criminal conspiracy with maybe 19 people involved, and going across the state of Georgia and outside. The kind of charge that was invented for mob bosses 30, 40, 50 years ago to bring them to justice. And so the mugshot says, I'm the boss. I'm in charge. Now, of course, he doesn't mean to say that he's guilty. And of course, we'll let a court of law determine that, not us. But I've got to tell you, I keep coming back to the show. When was the first time you saw? It was O.J. Simpson, remember? Down the freeway in California with helicopter shots following the freeway, looking at the car. We didn't even see the man. We saw Donald J. Trump briefly yesterday when he got on and off the plane. And he spoke at the airport. And another thing that struck me, though, I think maybe he is taking this to some extent seriously. The judge, as you know, has told him in no uncertain terms that he must not cross the line of trying to intimidate witnesses with his talk about using the vulgar expressions of denouncing judges and prosecutors. And apparently he didn't do it yesterday. He said he was innocent. He said it was a travesty of justice to try to foist this on him, the witch hunt. That's all appropriate in the sense of responses. But he didn't, at least on the tarmac, as far as I can tell, and wasn't live, not use any of the phrases that would get him in trouble with the court.
Sam, he still leads by wide margins in the Republican presidential primary, but interestingly enough, he had a two-week window to turn himself in. Any show, as you say, given to the fact that he turned himself in the day after the Republican primary, of which he did not participate in?
Well, the show was part of, I think, what he's done most of his life, even when he was so obscure that people in Des Moines didn't know much about him. He knows how to stage these things. For instance, I was watching some of the commentary afterwards by various cable networks, including a little bit from Fox, what they were saying about him. And yes, they were talking about the charges, but they talked about the charges when it came down on that Monday. Well, they were talking about the fact that he was noted to be someone with golden strawberry hair, and they were laughing at the fact, where did he get the strawberry from? And that his weight was put down as 215 pounds, and they wanted to say, well, that was much, he was much heavier when the last time he was looked at. I wonder if instead of examining the indictment and the charges, we were going over the trivia, which is all part of a show, all very important. And of course, we also looked at the case of Harrison Floyd Jr. Do you think most of your listeners know who Harrison Floyd III is?
I want to say we have a smart crowd out there. Some probably do.
He was a little. He's one of the people indicted in this vast conspiracy, perhaps the least important from the standpoint of a charge that he has been doing something wrong. He apparently is charged with assaulting an FBI agent in trying to protect the boxes of material in Mar-a-Lago. I don't even know what the exact charge is. But he's the one who spent the night in jail. All the every other people, beginning, of course, with the former president, bailed out. Bailed $200,000 was Mr. Trump's bond. He put up $20,000, apparently of his own money. Not the campaign money that people are sending him now. Oh, yes, stay in there. Oh, we'll be back you and all of this. But his own money to get the bail bond. And, of course, he was released. And so were all the others, Mark, but all the people that were brought, former chief of staff. But here, this poor guy, he comes without an attorney. He spends the night in jail because he can't make bail. And then all the panels are talking about how is justice equal to the United States? Yes, the former president must be accorded the rights of any prisoner who can afford it. But if poor old Mr. Harrison Floyd III and I don't want to confuse him with Harrison Ford, a fine actor, has to spend the night in jail. That's not justice. That's not equality of justice. I mean, it is, again, forgive me for starting off a very important hour that you're presenting, which the root of is the fact that this man, Donald J. Trump, may face a petit jury someday, which has the power of convict him if they find evidence sufficient to do so, and put him in jail. And here we are talking about, here I am talking about the show, but at the moment it is the Trump show.
Well, you are certainly right about that, and I want to get to this date in just a second, but there's something I thought about last night when this image of the mugshot came up. Presidents, in particular, but other people as well, have iconic pictures, sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad, that stick with them through their life. We're always going to remember Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky in the crowd with her in the beret. We're always going to remember Richard Nixon getting on the plane, giving the peace sign as he resigns his post at the White House. No matter what happens with Donald Trump and these charges, the four indictments, and I also think about O.J. Simpson, who obviously was not a president, but his mugshot has been on the cover of books and things of that nature. But when we think of President Trump, 50 years from now, when the indictments are over and the decisions have been made and whatever happens, happens, this mugshot, it will be, well, should we call it iconic? Is that something? Is it going to be on shirts? Is it going to be on the cover of books? Is it going to be what's in the history books that the kids are reading 50 years from now as the visual for this whole time?
I think you're onto something. For my generation, even of Americans, it was the shot of Winston Churchill when Karsh, the photographer, trying to get him to look, you know, took his cigar out of his mouth, and the old bulldog looked upset, angry, but fierce, fierce. Churchill put down Adolf Hitler, put down the Nazi, the British won. And I think you're correct. Now, I think something we've got to keep emphasizing. If he's found innocent of these charges, and are the other charges, there are so many in other, three other jurisdictions, three other court indictments, rather, then it might be a little different. But the shot of Nixon leaving, he left, he resigned. You can't take that back. So we'll wait for the final outcome, but I've seen nothing more. You're onto something that epitomizes the feelings that many people have about Donald J. Trump. Not his loyal sympathizers, perhaps, but many other people feel that's who they see. That's they see. They see a mob boss.
And one more question here before we ask about this date. The fact that we have never had a president mugshotted, and the last three indictments, they did not do it because they thought it would be used to raise campaigns, everybody campaign funds, we know who Donald Trump is. The fact that this is now on the books and a president has been mugshotted and Donald Trump will forever be known, even if we have other presidents mugshotted, as the first, and we always mention the first, does this demean the office of the presidency? Does it hurt it? Is there anything to that? Just the fact that it happened?
I think that's true. There was a time in the 60s, the early 70s, a lot of talk about an imperial presidency. We've got to not do that. He's just an individual, although the most important as far as government is concerned. And now it's almost reversing. The office itself has been demeaned. The office itself, no matter what happens to a jury confronts Donald Trump, has been sullied. The feeling that, well, all right, I don't like this guy, and someday he'll be a woman, I take it, I hope so, but he is the president or she's the president of the United States and is due some respect, some honor, some allegiance as a citizen of the country while that person is in charge. People don't feel that way anymore. They want to, they're against government, they hate government. Well, government is what keeps us from being savages, and we still elect our governments. The charge that this man tried to overturn a fair election in which no shred of evidence has ever been presented in court before under the trust of swearing to honesty. It just simply has changed, and the country has changed too as far as its respect for institutions. But so far, institutions have held. Our courts have held. Our prosecutors have held. I'm not saying they're right. We'll let a jury determine that. And I think it's going to come out okay at the end. but we're going through a very, very dark period of our history.
Two quick questions here. Something else that came out yesterday. October 23rd is the date that DA Fannie Willis has asked for Fulton County in Georgia, has asked that this trial start. That is very, very quick, a couple months from now. Obviously, the Trump lawyers are going to try to fight this. None of us have a crystal ball, but who is likely to get their way in this? October 23rd is what we kept hearing from the reporters last night.
Well, I think... I'm not a lawyer, but I've looked at all the people who have a background of analysis of this. That's going to be too early. I mean, obviously, he has the right, and his lawyers, he has a new lawyer now, a man who's very distinguished as someone before the bar and handling criminal clients who've been charged with criminal charges, rather. And I think that's too early. I mean, give him a chance, and I suspect this will not be the first trial that comes before it. It looks like that might be Jack Smith. That'd be that special prosecutor from the Justice Department who has two charges against him, one in Florida for the mishandling, accused of secret papers and documents sent into the United States security. And the second, of course, is the charge of a conspiracy to overthrow that election. The same kind of charge that's underwriting the one that Fannie Willis has just brought into Georgia, but Jack Smith has tailored the charges so that they're very specific. The evidence that presented can be understood, and you can't just say, well, he thought he'd won. I mean, he has an honest mistake. No. One of the charges says he obstructed the formal proceeding that on the 6th of January did occur, thanks to the vice president, who wouldn't obey his orders to overturn the election. That may be the first check forward. But I think Fannie Willis, this tough prosecutor who takes no prisoners, apparently, to want 2 months for them to prepare the charges is not right.
Final question here this morning, Sam, and maybe the most important question we have here this morning, is 4 indictments, 91 counts at this particular point between the 4, 2 federal, 1 in Georgia, 1 in New York. Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, we saw his mugshot earlier this week. As we look on the whole at this whole thing, and again, this show resonates out of Jim Jordan's district and out of Ohio, which went for President Trump handedly both times that he ran for president. But saying all that, what people keep saying to me, Donald Trump's going to get out of it. Donald Trump will find a way. It's fake news. You know, he got out of the impeachments. He won the presidency when people said he couldn't. He'll get out of this. 91 counts, 4 different indictments, federal, state level. Is there any way he escapes prison at this point, especially on these RICO charges, where, as we discussed, I believe last week, minimum 5-year sentence on these charges? Is there any way at this point that these DAs would bring these charges and take a mugshot and do the whole show yesterday, and Donald Trump just walks away and, hey, I got the better of him?
Well, let's hope not. And when I say that, again, I'm not making a decision as what the jury that hears the actual evidence will make in any particular case. But if there were no charges, if there was no indictment at all, but all of the things that he is alleged to have done, and the evidence appears to be there for so many of those things, the normal person, just reading the newspaper or hearing the evidence as presented by people who say this is what they found, this is the documents they found here, this is the way he said there, that is what happened here, would think, well, this guy didn't do it right. So you're saying, well, if in fact now the criminal process where evidence must be produced and it's weighed by jurors, it's argued by prosecutors and defense attorneys, all this mountain of evidence, if you're saying, well, if people, every jury, oh, well, now we're going to let him off, that's okay, or somehow I didn't really reveal that I had already made up my mind of this case and I got on the jury and I'm going to hang it. Could that happen? I suppose it could, but I don't think it will. I think he will be fairly judged in courts, at least the majority of them have 4 going now. He will be fairly judged, and a jury will come to a verdict based on the evidence, and he will pay the penalty based on what a normal person, unless a former president pardons him from federal charges, but they can't pardon him from state charges in Georgia. A normal person would say the system has worked. I think the system will work.
Will he be the Republican nominee in 2024 for president?
I don't think he will be, but that's just one of these things everybody speculates on. At the moment, it looks like he's going to be the overwhelming nominee. But I think there are some very learned people who study politics, and I used to study it very hard, but now, as retired, I know about what you know. I'm listening to you, listening to watching newspapers, or watching television newspapers. They think neither he nor President Biden will be on the ticket in the final analysis. That would be a different kind of election. Because I do subscribe to the theory, based on evidence, that if he's the nominee of the Republican Party, he will be defeated. And I'm assuming that we're talking about evidence which is solid. He would claim that he's fraud once again, I've been cheated once again, billions of ballots dumped in the Chicago River once again, never to be found, of course, but hey, I tell you it's true. He would be defeated badly. And the grand old party, and I mean that in the sense of respect for what I used to know as the Republican Party, with its nominees, some of whom I voted for, some of whom I voted against in my time beginning in 1956 when I was eligible to vote, the grand old party will have ceased to exist. It may be reconstructed, it may become a different name, but he will have ruined the party, he will have ruined the candidates who have followed him as to in 2020. Most of the candidates who supported him and were on the ticket of I'm for Trump and he's the great president, Kerry Lake, and running for governor of Arizona. I can go down the whole list if I had it before me. It would happen again. Mm. He's the destroyer. Now, we've talked a lot about Oppenheimer and I'm the destroyer of worlds when he saw the atomic blast in New Mexico in 1945. But Trump is a destroyer of the old Republican Party, and he's not going to survive as a candidate for president of the United States.
With 1 minute left to go here, Sam, you have asked some of the best questions in press conferences of presidents, such as Ronald Reagan during Iran-Contra, Bill Clinton during his scandal with Monica Lewinsky, and you have sat down with Donald Trump as a citizen and interviewed him. If you could ask Donald Trump, President Donald J. Trump, anything after what has happened the last few months and after the mugshot taken yesterday, what would you ask him today?
Well, I'd ask him a question I think I already know the answer to, but it might produce, if I guess something, I would say President Trump. But he's a former president, and you don't call him Mr. President because that's the title reserved for the person who is the president. But I'd say President Trump. I'm going to be respectful. President Trump, when you look back on everything you've done in your life, particularly as president and in the aftermath of that, do you have any regrets? Do you think maybe there's anything you did wrong and you wish now you did it differently? I'm afraid the answer would be no, and it's a witch hunt and all of this. But in a moment of quiet retrospective, is there anything in this man, deep down, which he says, yeah, I know what I've been doing, or I did, I know it was wrong? That's the question I'd ask.
With just 15 seconds left to go, can a president, the only president with a mugshot, not come out as the worst president of all time on these lists we see every year on President's Day?
So far, but we thought it was Richard Nixon. I covered Watergate for ABC News, and I thought I'd seen a president resigning his office one step ahead of the sheriff. But this man, particularly if convicted, I'm talking about, let's hope that's the last, is the worst. Mm. What do you want after that? I can't imagine it.
Sam Donaldson, nobody better to start this morning with. We talked a little longer than 10 minutes, but boy, it was informative. Sam, thank you so much. You are the best.
See you, Scott.
Bye-bye. Legendary Sam Donaldson, we're going to bring in Sean Kraft here. Well, Sean, we got the news there right off the top of the morning. What do you make of this historic morning?
Well, it's very interesting, That mugshot, I think it's probably going to be like a Halloween costume or something now.
Well, I think it'll be on the cover of magazines and so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you make of what Sam had to say?
Well, I caught a little bit of it here and there. I got some phone calls in between, but, you know, certainly I don't know if it's a show or not, but... I
think the show of bringing in the limousines and the cars and... bringing that all into little Fulton County, I think, is what he was talking about the show.
Well, I mean, certainly he has to have his protection and everything.
I don't know that most presidents would have arrived that way, but maybe.
Well, you know, Donald Trump knows how to get the media started.
Well, yeah, but I mean, is it a show, is the question. When you say that, get the media started, that's a show. That's proclaiming, I know how to do this, so this is what I'm going to do.
Well, I think a lot of this is, anyways, it's all fake news, you know?
Well, see, that's what I just asked Sam. That's what people will say, but ultimately the court, the jury, will make that decision.
Yeah. And hopefully they make the right decision, because I think some of this stuff is just...
Do you think all 91 counts are just baloney?
Well, I don't know if all 91, I'm not saying here and there, but some of this stuff is just bogus, I think.
And I want to say this, whether you like President Trump or you don't like President Trump, he will now forever be the first president to have a mugshot taken. And what did you make of the mugshot? I heard a lot of opinions on that from people who like him, people who don't like him, people who are indifferent to him. They have opinions on this.
I think it's an interesting mugshot, actually. I just looked at it again this morning, and it definitely fits his character.
In what way?
You know, the way he presents himself with things. You know, like how he does stuff at different rallies and. Yeah.
Do you think it's a good picture? Some people have these mugshots that are really, people go, wow, they look awful in that mugshot. And then some people go, well, you know, it looks like they were posing for that mugshot.
I think he was posing for this mugshot.
So, is it historic?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, because it's going to be on there forever now. But I think a lot of it is he just did it because... I think they're all after him for stuff, you know.
Now, who is they?
Like, different, you know, like New York and...
Right, but I mean, four different indictments. Four different groups of people.
Yeah.
Two federal, well, three different groups of people. Two federal, one in New York, one in Georgia.
Yeah. But you know what? He's winning in the polls.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so. The Republican polls.
Yeah.
And there are some national polls that do have him ahead, but I don't know, as Sam said, if he'll even be the nominee, because a lot of money is being spent on these
legal
fees. And also, at some point, if you have a mugshot like that, the other side is going to use that quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. They're going to put it like you said, magazines and... campaign ads, probably, and stuff like that. But you know, I think it was a unique mugshot, if you ask me. I just looked at it a little bit ago.
But do you think that does him good, or that does him bad?
I think it does him good.
A mugshot?
I think it's going to help him in the polls even more.
With who? Who would say, I like a mugshot of a person, I'm going to vote for them?
I liked it. I liked that mugshot.
Yeah, but you liked him beforehand.
No, I mean, as a matter of fact, I would like to have his autograph on that mugshot.
Well, see, is that something... Now, see, this as a society is something I'm interested in. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever asked for O.J. Simpson's autograph on his mugshot, but should we be making such a joke of the judicial system of this country? That we would autograph a mugshot? There, like Mary Ellen Withrow has said, there are certain things she will not autograph because it's not respectful to her position. Is it respectful to autograph a mugshot?
I think in this particular case, I think it is, because I think a lot of this stuff is bogus, you know.
Well, see, the charges will go to court. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm talking about the mugshot itself.
Yeah,
the mugshot is not bogus. The mugshot was taken. It's there, and it's
no,
out.
No, I mean, I think it's. I think behind the mugshot is what I'm getting at.
Right,
because you would never have had this mugshot if it wasn't behind all the scenes.
Well,
I mean, you don't just...
When you're indicted, they always have the opportunity.
That's what I'm saying, though.
And they gave him a pass the first three times and said, well, we're not going to do it. But this time they did.
Yeah, I think behind the scenes why they did the most...
You know what I think this does, essentially? If you like Donald Trump, you probably think this is the worst morning in the world, and they're out to get him, and this is awful. And if you hate Donald Trump, you probably think this is the greatest thing that ever happened, and isn't that great? I just wish that we could find a collective middle here where we all looked at this generally and said... We have had Republican presidents. We have had Democratic presidents. We've had Whig presidents. We've had 46 presidents. The country is nearly 250 years old. Why has no other president ever had a mugshot?
Because I don't think anybody, any other parties was after president like they are Donald
Bill Trump. Clinton and Monica Lewinsky? They investigated him for 8 straight years. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, good morning,
good morning,
good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to run something by you real quick before the day gets crazy and then I don't get a chance to call in. So what do you think of this? Okay, I know we had a good laugh at the end of the show yesterday about the idea of you, and not just you specifically, but as I envision it, like maybe the other personalities can be like behind you in the background, but you would be at the like the forefront with the microphone in the advertisement. Well, anyway, and let me just run something by you. Food for thought. Something for you to chew on. I walked into the break room yesterday, and I turned the conversation to the potential pay raise for the mayoral position, and not one of them knew anything about it. And when I regurgitated what I had learned on WWGH radio to them, they all had a few choice words to say about it. So people need to know what's going on, and they need to get plugged in.
So not in favor of the pay raise is what you're telling me.
Absolutely not.
So what we talked about was absolutely true yesterday, that people, because, you know, this is the last news station in town, and the newspaper's running a week behind on everything, and people, the subscriptions are just not what they were, that this local idea of the mayor getting this pay raise, people don't know, because as I said, whether or not you agree or disagree, I guess this is more the disagree category, I believe if people knew about this, they'd be up in arms.
Yeah, and I mean this in all sincerity, I mean, what you do is valuable and to the community. I mean, we need to know what's going on. I just feel like there's a lot of people that really just, myself included, you know, don't always aren't up to date on all the issues.
Now, did you tell all these people to start listening?
Okay, so I'm always like, people will, I'll have you on my radio or on my cell phone, and they'll be like, what are you listening to? I'm like, it's the local radio. I have to, that's why I'm saying I can't be your cheerleader, Scott. We need your snag on like a big billboard somewhere.
Well, no, I agree with you 100%. Sean and I.
I mean, it's like you need to build this thing up, you know, to where everybody knows your name, everybody knows where to find you and what you're about and who you are.
Well, I'll tell you something. I would say two things of interest here. Sean and I, particularly over the last few months, have talked about toward the end of the year doing some things like this. I don't think we talked about a billboard, but who knows, if there's a suggestion of a billboard, we might try to do something like that. But there definitely are some things that we are going to try to do as we head into November and December that would do that election time, because we're really the last station that covers elections like we do, like people used to do. And number two, I think you would be surprised when I am in the grocery store or I'm out in public, the people who never call in, who will say, who's the next interview? I just heard that person on. That was a great thing. Wasn't that an interesting... You know, I've had so many people ask me about this Mr. Mrs. thing that Abby and Matt have been into. So there's a lot of people who do listen who don't call in. So it's an interesting mesh in a way. But certainly, publicity never hurt anybody.
Well, and I don't mean to, like, go against what you said. I know you don't like to be challenged. No, I'm kidding.
That's all I ever am on this station is challenged.
I know, I'm just teasing you. But for as many that are in your little fan club, there's probably two or three that never heard of you. And I'm just saying what you do, it's valuable. We all need to have the opportunity to know what's going on. And a lot of people, like the lady said yesterday, a lot of people can't afford the newspaper, or, you know, it doesn't cost anything to listen to you guys.
No, it doesn't, and you'd be surprised. Like I say, over the next few months, we kind of have to keep some things under wraps at this point, but over the next few months before the end of the year, you will start to see some things happen. I don't think you'll see them till October or November, but you'll start to see some things happen that I think... Also, you know, when school's out in the summer and people are out doing things, when the weather turns... People aren't going to have a whole lot of choice of what they do in the morning, and I think that's going to be of our benefit as well.
And I don't know how much, like, have you ever just, like, made inquiries about things and you were surprised at just how doable they are? I wonder how much one of them billboards cost, but it might not be, like, it might be something that you could do, you know? It might not cost that much. You might not have to go too far out of your way. I think, and it would be cool, like, all y'all could be on it, you know?
Well, and I think one of the big changes we've made recently is Matt and Carrington. Now, we did it because we like them and they're good and that helps. But also, it's a demographic we never went for, and that is the demographic that are on their phones, tablets, so on and so forth. So, yes, we did it because we like them, and yes, we did it because they're good. But that also was a strategic move to appeal to more people. You're always trying to appeal to more people.
Sure. Well, I can't get off of here without saying hi to Sean.
Hi, how are you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing good, but I gotta keep on trucking. Y'all have a good chat.
Hey, thanks.
Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye
bye. Oh, and I do want to let people know that Sean and Matt will be on at 10 a.m. this morning. I'll be back for the noon show, but I have some personal business to attend to from 10:15 to 11. So Sean and Matt will be on. Listen to that show. Call in if you like. Pastor Whitaker will be on here in about 5 minutes, and Pastor Craig from 11:15 to 12, and then we'll all come back together, possibly with Abby, and we'll finally have this... I don't think it'll be a debate between Matt and Abby. I think it'll be more of a discussion. But we're all interested to see that discussion happen between 12:15 and 1. What do you think? My face on a billboard.
There you go. With an arrow pointed.
Just like I'm running for office. I think that's very interesting, though, that she went into the break room yesterday and told people about the pay raise for the mayor, and they knew nothing about it, and when they did know something about it, they were rather angry about it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times you don't get the news around here, unless you listen to the WWGH.
Well, that's true, and we really are. I mean, I don't say that with... I mean, it's nice that we are, but it's kind of sad in a way that we are the last news station in town that can talk about anything on a wide level.
Well, absolutely.
Obviously, Sarah appreciates it. I know a lot of other people appreciate it, and... Hopefully, you know, the problem is, though, when you're over the air, even then, it's hard to get everybody. I don't know how you get everybody. I think everybody might be just a little bit of a pipe dream. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Chip. How you doing out there this morning?
Good.
I haven't heard from you in a while. What's new?
We made one show last night.
Oh, you watched the Trump thing?
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
He
did get the mugshot. What'd you think of the mugshot, Chip?
Well, not good.
Not a good thing?
No.
Where do you think it's going to go from here? Do you think it'll help him or hurt him?
Hurt him.
Hurt him? Now,
yeah.
Do you support President Trump?
Yeah.
Nope. But you think it'll hurt him in the end?
Yeah.
So are you married yet, Chip?
No.
Well, how's that engagement going?
Good.
Have you set a date?
Not yet.
Not yet. But you're working toward it.
Kroger's 18 years now.
18 years at Kroger. Well, good for you, Chip.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Did they give you anything for 18 years?
Not yet.
Not yet. Are they going to give you something like a free meal or something?
Yes.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're out there, Chip. Call in any time.
Please tell all the speakers to 107.1 on.
So you tell everybody to listen to us.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Chip. So good to hear your voice. So glad you called in this morning.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Chip.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, our good friend Chip out there this morning, and we thank Sarah for calling in from the bus. I know she keeps us strong out there on the West Side bus here in Marion. 74
the website?
The West Side.
Oh, she is on the West Side?
I think she's on the West Side
now.
Oh,
is she?
Yeah, she used to be here on the South Side, and then I think she ended up on the West Side when there was some kind of route change.
Oh, gotcha.
In the bus section. But do want to let everybody know, Pastor Whitaker will be coming up next, and then at 10 o'clock this morning, it will be Sean and Matt. Pastor Craig will be on at 11, and we'll all be back together from 12 to 1, and then tonight from 8:15 until 10, it'll be Carrington, Matt, Sean, and I tonight, and that's a fun show to do, and it's nice to be back in the studio after being at the Bratwurst Festival. It was fun to be at the Bratwurst Festival, but it's always nice back to be in the confines of a studio where you can control the microphones and everything. It's remotes are fun, but they are a little hectic. You got to get connections established and things of that nature and set up on time, and it can be a busy day.
Absolutely can.
But, again, I just have something to do at 10 o'clock this morning, so I'll be gone that hour. But I will be back at noon, and Pastor Whitaker's coming up here in about 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
GH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't tell you how happy I am that you are joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I thank you very much for this opportunity to get this story out.
What do you want to see happen from this point out? This is now the truth.
It is the truth. And this is what I wanted. My goal is I want to see all the